The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The Record with Trivago Lang is brought to you by Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, RF Bank and Trust, and Rawstar Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Trivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call today, the numbers are, as usual, 323-6232 or 325 or 4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. I have a question for you today, and I'm hoping you will help me by answering the question. So here's the question. What is it that you like or are satisfied with about our system of government, about the way we govern, not about the present administration or the past administration, but about the system of government in which they all have to function? It has not changed since 1973. Well, it hasn't changed since we had a parliament, saving and except that we now practice it in an independent country, right? So we've had a parliamentary democracy now in the Bahamas for hundreds of years. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Almost 100. Almost, right? And what is it that you like about it? And then what is it that you dislike about it? Because we hear often enough, we need to change our system of government. We need to get rid of the monarchy. We need to do this and we need to do that. Okay. Now we get to talk about what is it about the way we govern our governmental system that bothers you, and what is it about it that pleases you? Let's start there, and then I will venture into some other stuff. So I give you a chance to answer. So in case you, I'm sure most of you know, there are a number of basic forms of and systems of government, right? We tend to know the basic descriptions of those systems. We know democracy, as an example, is one of those systems. We know another one of those systems. We know theocracy as another one of those systems. We know oligarchy as a system. We know colonialism as a system. We know aristocracy as a system. We know totalitarianism. We know communism and monarchies and military dictatorships. And even within each of them, there are iterations. There are different ways in which they are expressed that could be further defined. So, for instance, you could have a benevolent dictatorship, you know. Yeah, you could have a dictator who's quite nice, but he just makes all the decisions. So, largely when we describe democracy, when we describe political systems, we are talking about how far removed the people are from the decision-making. Because power in the end, power is nothing more than decision-making obey. That's really what state power is, right? The state has the power to decide you will pay more taxes. And it has a constabulary or in the United States, a military that can enforce that decision, right? Or federal agents who can enforce those decisions. And so at the state level, similar things. So when we're talking about governmental power, we're really talking about the ability to both make a decision that affects all or affects most or affects large portions of the population or affects any segment of the population and the ability to enforce the same. And the description of the type system is a function of how far removed are the people from that decision-making. So for instance, in a totalitarian system, the people are very far removed from decision-making. They don't get to make any decision because the total power is vested in a single person or mostly a single person or a set of persons, right? In a dictatorship, similarly, it's a person who is the person, right? Now, dictatorships have come to take on a kind of bad word, much worse word now than in Roman days. For instance, Julius Caesar was declared dictator of Rome. But he was not a dictator in that he had all the power and had it for life. That was not so. He still had a term limit, and he recognized that he had a certain amount of power to do certain things, but there were limits set on his term. Then he was declared dictator for life. And so, you know, but now dictators have a different kind of perception based on all of the abuses that we had seen from them. So, but in a dictatorship and totalitarianism, the people are far removed, well, can be far removed from the power. In an oligarchy, some small segment of the people have a lot of the power, a lot of the decision-making power. In communism, well, communism is probably less a political, it's less a political system than it can be regarded in some degree as an economic system. So socialism, right? They all kind of, it kind of, where the boundaries start, stop, and end, kind of ends. But in theory, communism and socialism are about the equity and equal prosperity and the common interests of all, but the power in those states tend to be concentrated in a person or small groups of people. But again, when you're looking at how to assess a political system, you look for how close to the power are the people in a democracy. In its purest form, all the power is really in the people. It's supposed to be that the people rule, democratis, which is people rule, right? But, you know, in representative democracies like ours, which is what our parliamentary democracy is, we elect representatives to the parliament to make laws and decisions on our behalf, right? In the United States of America, they elect a president who has no legislative power. He can propose legislation, but no legislation can be passed without his say-so. So he can veto a law, and so forth. So the idea behind political systems are one of how close to the people, how close in power are the people. And so we have in our system power to the extent of our taking back that power every election, every called election, and then delegating much of that power after the election to an executive branch in the cabinet, a legislative branch in the parliament, the Senate and the House of Assembly, and then to the courts as the judicial branch of government. After that, how much decision making we get to make is limited, saving and except where there may be an interest on the part of the lawmakers in changing some aspects of the Constitution, which are entrenched provisions, then they must come back to the people and ask them for permission to do that. But beyond that, generally speaking, election time, right? So what is it about our system that you like? What is it about our system that you dislike? You talk about it all the time, you whine about it all the time, or you praise it, or you commend it. What is it about the system that you like? What is it about that you dislike? Stack says, great show as usual. The two-term rule bothered me because realistically, only so much you could do in two terms. Well, there is no two-term rule in our system. So, you know what I mean? That system. We don't have a two-term rule in our system. So if you dislike that, then there's nothing to dislike in our system because we don't have term limits. You could be prime minister in the Bahamas for the rest of your life if the people are prepared to keep you as leader of the party with the most members elected to the House of Assembly. You can be prime minister for life in the Bahamas. You can be a member of parliament for life, right? So you, nobody, unless people decide you're done, you don't have to be done. So Linda and I, 25 years of prime minister, his party had 25 years in government, and many members of parliament have been members of parliament going on 40 years. I mean, for up to, I think, Mr. Christie has drawn out as they had come. I think they had reached 40 years in the parliament, so we don't have term limits. But what do you like about our form of government? What don't you like? Because if we're ever talking about changing something, you know, the question is why? You really change something if it isn't working or if it can work better. So therefore, you should be able to identify what isn't working or what should work better. And if you don't change something, then you must be satisfied with it and therefore should be able to say what it is you are satisfied about. And so I'm asking you today, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4259, or you can text on 422-4796 or 4393043. What is it that you like about our system of government, or what is it that you dislike about it? Right? We're going to take our first break, and then maybe by the time we come back, some of you will venture some thoughts about what you like or dislike about our system of government. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Chibago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together. Storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
The sixth edition of the Bahamas Games are on the way. July 7th through the 15th, get ready for inter-island sporting competition in the spirit of unity and camaraderie. Which island is gonna win? It's the Bahamas Games. Our nation, our talent, our games. And look out for the B-Games crew coming to your island soon. For more information, call 809-1242 or visit thebahamasgames.org.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails... And that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
When faced with an illness like cancer, we band together. Clinic in Florida, have your back.
From advanced cancer treatments to extra safety measures at all of our locations, we're with you on this journey. For every infusion and follow-up, for every step of the way, for every care in the world, Cleveland Clinic in Florida. Get the care you need when and where you need it. To learn more or connect with a local representative, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand, Everybody, come take my hand, We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this wonderful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, please feel free to give to call on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So I was asking the question, what do you like about system of government and what is it that you dislike about it? Somebody says, hi, Z, I like free and relatively fair electoral process. You and I agreed on that. That's the first like I would say about our system. You do have an opportunity as a society, as a people, to vote in your government and to vote out those you do not like. You might not like how long it takes, but you can do so. And in most democracies, and I don't know a democracy where that's not true, that is what is possible. People have the right to vote in and out the governments they have. So I like that about our system, and that is a component of our system. Anybody else? Anybody else with a like or dislike? I thought they said only two consecutive terms. Who said them? Who said that? I don't know who's they. Who said that? Yes, so you like the fact that we have within our political system a constitution that provides freedom of worship, among other freedoms, freedom of assembly, freedom of speech, freedom of movement. You have rights in respect of privacy and all that kind of stuff. So yes, I like that about our system as well. I like that about our system. Anything else? Anybody else? Say assembly is questionable. No, that's not true. I don't think that's true at all. I think that you have absolute freedom of assembly now. The extent to which the police may exercise power to break up an assembly is a thing that can happen, but that's why you have a court. So if you wanted to take the police to court for infringing your right of assembly, you just have to establish that in the courts. And so that doesn't mean that you don't have, that it's questionable. It's not a question thing. If the police harass you, you have the right to go to court. Now, mind you, say, well, that can cost money, that costs time, but the fact is you have that right. And so it's not an obstinacy in our view. You have the right not to be harassed in the Bahamas. The question of rights is always never a question of whether you have them, but whether you have the ability to have them enforced, to have them protected in your system. And we have that right through the courts. And so that's definitely a right. And I do not question that we have the right to assembly. I do not question that we have the right to freedom from harassment. I do not. Just because you have a freedom doesn't mean people can't infringe it. You know, that's why you have courts. The very existence of courts is because you can have people willing to infringe rights, including the government. So let's celebrate the right and the mechanism for its protection, even as we may complain that those rights may be infringed in circumstances or maybe far too frequently. So but those are two different things, right? We have freedom of speech with responsibility. The freedom of speech have limitations. Yeah, but it's freedom of speech, and it doesn't say freedom of speech with responsibility, even though there are laws against libel and defamation and so forth. So one has to exercise one's freedoms with some responsibility for certain. But the law does not say that you have the freedom, right to free speech, and then gives you these caveats attached to it per se. Right? But there are other defamation laws and libel laws that come into play, right? But the fundamental right to freedom to speak freely is a fundamental right. What else? Nothing else but our system you like? Nothing else? I like the fact that in our system, there is and can be much closer and better and more efficient cooperation between the legislature and the executive. Mind you, they are commingled in ways that can be counterproductive, but they are also commingled in ways that can be very cooperative, because we can pass legislation. I want you to imagine something happens really off terribly, and we need to have a law so that we can make it legal and then provide an enforcement mechanism for it in the law. Well, in our parliament, all you need is the cabinet to bring the bill. And because the party pretty much has the majority, you can pass that law. In the United States of America, you better pray to God it don't have nothing to do with guns. Because you could get all kinds of, you know, wranglings between the president and the legislator, between the Congress and the Senate, and you can have legislation held up as they have been for decades and decades. Immigration laws have been held up. Gun laws have been held up. Rights laws on gay rights, abortions, etc. Depending on what side of the fence you are. So we do have much more opportunity for cooperation in our system. So I do like that. While I recognize the challenge, on the other hand, with the commingling with no backbench presence, really. It says, I like our ability to voice our pleasure or displeasure towards any government without fear of punishment. Here is what I would like to see members of parliament not also name ministers, so that that way their sole focus and advocacy is for their constituency. I'd like to vote separately for the prime minister. I would like opposition. I would like a more independent and empowered local government on each island. So let's look at this. So I like our ability to voice our pleasure or displeasure towards any government without fear of punishment. Now, you know that is really, while there are systems, that while there's a constitutional right to protect your ability to do that, the extent to which you don't suffer retribution because of that, is largely a function of the character and demeanor of the leadership of the country. Because I assure you, I'm Shivago Sean Lang. I'm 55 years old. And I can assure you that there was a time in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, as others can assure you, where if you spoke up against the government, it would not go well for you. You would be denied things. You would be deprived of things where the government could do so. That was a fact. And the same constitution prevailed. So it does, and there are people who tell you that has happened over, they'll tell you that might have happened in every administration where government either could deny you a contract, deny you a scholarship because you spoke up against them. So while that right is fundamental in our constitution, the right to speech, free speech, how it is administered in terms of what the government can or cannot do to you really largely depends on the character and demeanor of the government. So here's what I would like to see members of parliament not also name ministers, so that that way their sole focus and advocacy is for their constituency. You mean backbenchers, but we have backbenchers in our system. We do. You might not have as many as you want, but we have backbenchers in our system, and them being backbenchers is no guarantee that their sole advocacy would be for their constituency. And again, you know, this is actually a very important point. Members of parliament are not advocates for their constituencies. They're not. That's really not what it's about. A member of parliament is a legislator, a lawmaker. So what and the laws of the country affect the whole country. We don't make laws for Marco City. We don't make laws for Baintown. We make laws for the Bahamas. And that's the only thing that's done in the parliament of the Bahamas, is you make laws. Now, there is some degree to which a member of parliament could advocate for his or her constituent allocation of resources to their constituency, but are you more likely to get that in a member of parliament not in the cabinet or in the government, or a member of parliament in the cabinet or government? I don't even have to ask you that. I don't even have to pretend I don't know the answer to that question. You are more likely to get that from a member of parliament in the government and in the cabinet. So you, as a backbencher, your job for advocating specifically for some budgetary allocation for your constituents is harder than if you are in the government or not. But a member of parliament makes laws for the country. And what the parliamentary representation says is each constituency has a say in that law. The law against murder, the law against rape, the law against stealing and all these are not laws that are particular to constituencies, but the constituency representatives have had an opportunity to weigh into those laws. And that's the job of a member of parliament, lawmaking. This text says, I would like to vote separately for the prime minister. Okay. So that's a republic type system. There are no republic type systems that have prime minister presidents, because you marry in the head of government and head of state, the same person. So you have a president. So you vote for the president. So, you know, we would abandon the system of government we have if we started voting for a person who heads the government and heads the state. And that would not be a parliamentary democracy as we have it today. It'd be a representative democracy still, but not a parliamentary one. This says, I would like the Speaker of the House to be an elected position. Well, I don't know anywhere in the world where the Speaker is elected by the general public, because the Speaker is a chair of the body of the House. And really, it's somebody who should be elected by their peers, because they are there to protect the rights of their peers. So I suppose it could happen, but I think there is a wisdom as to why it's not done that way. There is, the Speaker is elected, but the Speaker is elected by the body of people elected by the people, right? So and their representatives get to say who will be their Speaker. And the Speaker is largely a role of chairing the meeting of the House. Like, you know, it's like board of directors. You get a director appointed from among the directors as the chairman of the board. But, okay, elected Speaker. This text says, I would like a more independent and empowered local government on each island. I think that'd be fantastic. This text says, punishment in terms of imprisonment is what I meant. Punishment. Oh, I see. You know, I know. Yeah. All right, we have some more text here. This text says, pleasing, it gives the appearance of people choosing who will lead them. Please, I'm not sure. First, So good afternoon, my Muslim friends would argue about their rights to worship. Some of their stories are horrific. What I do not like is the resistance against centralized government. It makes so much sense in their archipelago, I believe, but I do not like that we have those conversations. And I'm sure it would be a reality in the future. I really would like to understand what this text is about, but I don't, especially the second part. And as for Muslims, I'd love to hear what rights Muslims have to worship that are infringed. So if you could let me have some more information about what they tell you is happening to them that infringes their rights, I'd be grateful. Really would. This text is, Mr. Lyon, what I dislike is that the losing side has to be hurried out of office and there's no turnover time frame. Seems immature to me. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's true. It's very abrupt. It's very abrupt for sure. This says, on the downside, the people who we choose to lead us do not swear their allegiance to the people who elected them. Okay. Okay. So you'd prefer a system where you swear your allegiance to the people. Okay. I like that actually. So, okay. What does that mean? Says, for clarity, two consecutive terms was a campaign promise, but never became law. Strikeout, you gotta love autocorrect. Oh, okay. Yeah, I think many of the party, all of the parties, I think, have expressed an interest in or promised term limits, and none of them have actually done it. Now, I'm not sure if Ingram ever said that he would institute term limits, but I think he said he would put a term limit on himself. It says, I don't like that we do not choose our prime minister. I think we should vote for a prime minister instead of a party. I think that will bring forth more options with more ideas. Okay. Again, we had that as a suggestion earlier. It says, I like that no drinking is allowed on that day. You can't be drunk at election time or under the influence. All right, we're going to take a break, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabar Lang, your host. What do you like this system of government? That's the question today. Do you know the system of government? Yeah. Do you understand it? What do you like about it? What do you dislike about it? We're going to take this break. We'll be back after this break.
Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
We are going back to Cali, BK style, with the California King Collection, only available at Burger King Nassau. Enjoy your choice of plant-based, crispy chicken, or fire-grilled beef, topped with melted white cheddar cheese, bacon, freshly sliced red onion, ripe tomato, crisp lettuce, and BK's creamy guacamole, all served on a toasted brioche bun. The California King Collection packs a tidal wave of flavors and is made with only quality ingredients that are refreshing and filling with every bite. Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Babe, you marched the car?
I marched the car. The lady who run into me marched the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the
that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Tired of paying too many bills and loan payments each month?
Shrink your monthly debt payments down to one easy payment with our debt consolidation loan.
It also has a built-in savings that pays you 5% interest.
Inquire about our debt consolidation loans today.
Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you. This is Guardian Radio. 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take.
take my hand, come take my hand.
We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, just let me know that you're not alone. I'll love if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here, Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp on 439-3043. We're talking about the system of government we have and why you like it or dislike it for the time being. This text is abrupt. Say they be shredding those papers months in advance, laugh out loud. Listen to me. I know that y'all just think it's kind of like television-ish that you imagine that they are shredding papers at election time, right? Listen to me, man. Seriously? Put the foolishness out your head. It is nonsense. Absolute nonsense. It's nonsense. Shredding with paper. What minister? Because those are the people who have to do with the paper in the parliament, in the government. Secretary is stupid enough to put anything on a piece of paper that they believe is going to be incriminating, that they got to shred before the next people come in? Are you serious? And think about this, right? Who you got shredding paper? The permanent secretaries, the deputy permanent secretaries, the undersecretaries, the first assistant secretaries, all these people who see all these papers, some are for the government, some are against the government, but they all work for the government. They're going to be right there. Shred with paper for what? They can tell you what time it is if they need to. What minister could order a permanent secretary to shred papers? Listen to me, man. You all put that nonsense on your head, right? It's nonsense. I know you might get tickled and stimulated by thinking that kind of sinister stuff is happening, right? But it isn't even logical. It's not logical. Shred papers to put water on. You make decisions at cabinet. You write on pieces of paper called folios, folio advice. The permanent secretary write a note back. Minister, this blah, 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 blah. You say approve. You say no, not approve. But shred what? To say what? What are you going to write on a piece of paper that you're gonna write it and it's gonna incriminate you? Who is that dumb? If you have a political decision to make, you have a conversation. When the cabinet of the Bahamas has what is called a political cabinet, secretary of the cabinet don't need to be there. Sometimes I lie. I listen to some of y'all, and I know my friend who wrote this was laughing too. I just listen to some of the things that you believe goes on in government, and I know what it is. I mean, you don't know, you can't really know, and you don't trust politicians so much that you believe, and then you watch these television programs and things. Texas, Trinidad and Tobago is a republic that has a president and a PM. Yeah, they don't marry. They have a president and a PM, but the president is, they really ceremonially dressed up their former governor general role. Yeah, and so, yeah, they could have a president and a PM, but, you know, in the republics, they marry the two in one office, right? But do so... It's possible. Anything is possible if that's the system you want. You know, you can do that for sure. Right? What powers has the president of Trinidad. Tell me. Is the president of Trinidad the president of the United States? Now, in Trinidad, the president might be the commander in chief of the armed forces, so it might be plenty power. All right. So one of the things I like about our system of government is how we have minimum qualifications for election to the House of Assembly. And I think that's a great thing. I don't think we should have a system based on your socioeconomic class and all that kind of stuff. I don't think we should have a class system at all. So I like that, you know, you're 18 years old, you ain't bankrupt, you're Bahamian, and you qualify to be in the House. You're 30, you ain't bankrupt, and you're Bahamian, you can be in the Senate, you'll be appointed. So I actually like that because it means then that any sensible person, I mean, you could have some unsensible people too, but any sensible person who's not, in quote, highly educated in any formal way, who is not wealthy and so forth, and who's not a part of some elite class, can in fact offer for the House of Assembly. So I like that. I don't like that we have a system of government that is so lacking in regulations for what and how you can be funded or supported at election time. Because I hate that, and even though our laws, we have laws against cheating, plenty cheating goes on during election time in the Bahamas, and it goes on because that's what Bahamian people, many, many of them demand, require, want at election time. They look for, I can get me some of these people now because, you know, you ain't to see them, so I need this for my daughter, I need that for my son, I need this for my house, I need that, and plenty that goes on. And I wish we'd have a system that removes the funding of political elections from the parties and put them in the government. Give the parties $2.5 million and tell them go to town. That's it. You can't spend no more, you can't raise no more. Government funded. Where did the money come from? From the government. So you know, no need to worry. Did the foreigner fund you? No, the foreigner didn't fund me unless you sneak a couple of dollars in behind and then you're breaking the law. Come down on them. Who funded you? Did the Bahamian businessman fund you? No, the government gave you $2.5 million. That's your budget to go and campaign all across the islands and do what you got to do. That's it. That's it. You can't make you might get rid of some of these things we require to be done at election time. Focus your attention on the documents and the speeches you have to make to the public about why they should elect you above someone else. So I don't like that. I don't like the tribal nature of our system. Now, we have a competitive democracy, right? Meaning the parties compete between themselves for the attention of the public. In a theoretical sense, I think that's great, and that could be great if the competition is a competition of ideas. But that's not typically all the competition is about. It tends to degrade to a competition of accusations, of allegations, of slander, and that kind of thing. It tends to become a competition of best T-shirts, best caps, you know, best posters, and that kind of competition. And we waste far too much resources competing on that level, best rally setup and best sound system and best parade, then the car, what is called a car, motorcade, and that kind of thing. Because we don't delve into the level of the competition that really matters to the decision making. Like what is your track record and what is it that you propose to do and how do you propose to do that? Where is the security system of debates? You don't have, the our plan or manifesto come out like a couple of weeks before. You don't even have a chance to really delve into it and so forth and make people, hold people accountable for the last one they did and for the one they're promising to do, right? So I don't like that about our system. That might be more about the way we operate the system than the way the system is, but in ways it is about the system itself, because the system can call for an end to some of the things that I talked about and for the beginning of some of the things I talked about. So we can have legislation requiring debates. We can at the constituency candidacy level or the level of the leadership of the parties. We can legislate that. We can establish a debate committee for that. We can do that. We can do that if we wanted, if we thought that was worthwhile. This text says, I kind of like that freedom too, that anyone can put themselves forth for the election, but maybe we should require a little more. Like take a test that shows reason, demonstrate common sense, and have a level of understanding or knowledge of some of the Constitution, if not at all. I think that'd be very difficult. I think that'd be very difficult to do. I really see representation was always intended to be an average person's thing. That was always the intention. See, because if I'm now going to test your reasoning, well, if the test is a test of reasoning, and then somebody has better reasoning skills than you, then why shouldn't I just go with them instead of fooling around with you? See, so what test? Well, I think that'd be difficult. Now, requiring more like what? Like that you're literate. You have to read. You know, at one point you didn't have to. You know, that was why your first, second, and third reading in the House of Assembly, because orally, you could listen to the laws and what they say. And why should a person somebody from the Family Islands or somewhere right in Nassau, but who's not been exposed to any great depth to education and logic and reasoning, but who understands what a country needs, who understands what people are feeling disgruntled about, and who believes that there should be laws in relation to X, Y, and Z, and wants to put themselves forward? Why should they not be able to do that? Because you didn't pass my reasoning test. In any event, I think it'd be a practical challenge for sure. It'd be a practical challenge, and Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break from news. When we come back, we'll continue our discussions. And when we come back, we're going to talk about a co-opracy. How about that? We'll be back after the news break.
Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Get the Nassau Guardian's Hurricane Guide. The guide will tell you where to purchase building and cleaning supplies, waste disposal, medical care, which auto shop to go to after driving through flooded streets, and much more. The Nassau Guardian's Hurricane Guide will help to make sure everyone knows what to do in the event a hurricane approaches and after it departs. Take advantage of this double insertion opportunity, plus 15 radio commercials. Contact us today, 302-2300, 302-2300, or call your account executive. Will you be prepared?
Beulah gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns? Where they hiding the drugs? Who shoot who? Who part of which gang? Or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycles?
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas. Someone come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what are we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands. Or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
Take a stand, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live, I'm Shavar Bolang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can 24796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So it is not uncommon in the Bahamas to hear people say, oh, people get special treatment. If you're foreigner, you get special treatment. If you're rich, you get special treatment. And maybe that's true in some instances for sure, right? But I'm reading a newspaper notice. This is what the notice says. Notice is hereby given that Leonard Albert Kravitz, 10960 Wilshire Boulevard, 5th floor, Los Angeles, California, 90024, USA. Applying to the Minister for Responsible for National Security and Citizenship for registration, naturalization as a citizen of the Bahamas. And that any person who knows any reason why registration / naturalization should not be granted should send a written and signed statement of the facts within 28 days from the 16th day of May, 2023, to the Minister Responsible for National Security and Citizenship, Post Office Box N7147, Nassau, New Providence, the Bahamas. Right below him are several other people, the exact same thing. The photo is special of Mr. Kravitz. It's the same as all the others. And so he wants to be registered, naturalized as a he's always been identified with the Bahamas. And I think he just definitely has relatives, connections, ties, familial ties to the Bahamas. And he's applying. And the requirement of the law is that you got to publicize it in the newspaper, in the Gazette. And there you go. So at least in that instance, don't tell me, but, oh, this is special treatment to this one and the next one. Not Lenny Kravitz. Lenny Kravitz is a huge rock star. Huge. But he wants to identify with the Bahamas as a citizen. Take that. This text says, Mr. Lang, please take me through the process of how a candidate is elected to run for a particular constituency. Let's just say I live in the Yamacraw constituency, well-liked, well-known, and wish to offer myself as a candidate for one of the two major parties. Would I be considered? Okay. So there's no one starting point for becoming a candidate of a political party. So in some instances, people have been associated with the party for a long time. They've been in the Young Liberals, they've been in the Torchbearers, and they have been, and I'm talking about the major parties right now, but the same thing can apply to other parties. I'm talking about the ones that have had candidates elected, okay? So those persons can then become very familiar to the party's supporters and generals and leadership. They could have been working in the Yamacraw constituency in terms of working with other candidates or working with the member of parliament so that they are known as a political personality. They've been involved with helping things happen in the constituency like youth programs or supporting church programs or social programs. They over time, they can become interested in the candidacy and they can then submit a letter to the constituency association expressing their interest. And it could be that in time, the association agrees this should be our candidate and put that forward to the leadership of the party for consideration of the party's council. That's one way. Or it could be that a leader of the party sees a person who he or she believes could be a good candidate and help them win a constituency because of their profile nationally or within that constituency, or because they have some particular skill set that they would like to have available in the government, should they win the government. And so then they can lobby the constituency association to have that person become their candidate. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. Don't tell me it always works, because it doesn't always work. Hubert Alexander Ingram, leader of the Free National Movement, Prime Minister, wanted Shivago Shawnline to be the candidate for the High Rock constituency following the retirement of one Elijah Maurice Moore. He made the effort. Didn't happen. The constituency association wanted someone else, someone more familiar to them, somebody they were more interested in. Eventually, Ken Russell became that candidate. So he then worked through and lobbied the Fort Charlotte constituency. And that is where Shivago Lang ran in 1997 and won. So a party leader can do that. Sometimes influential persons within the party can see a person and think, you know what, this person could be a great candidate, and they can lobby the leadership and the constituency to get the person in. So there are many ways that it can happen. You could have people who become the candidates who have no legacy in frontline party politics, i.e. Sir William Allen, who was, when Ingram won government, Ingram chose him to be Minister of State in the Ministry of Finance. Ms. Ingram, he really wanted him to be in the House of Assembly so he could be the Minister of Finance. And so what happened was, in time with the retirement of, was it Sir Orville? I think it was. Sir William then contested unopposed the Montagu constituency and then became the Member of Parliament. So there are many ways that it can happen, but there has to be, one, an interest on your part, and there has to be an interest on the part of others in your being a candidate, all right? Of course, you could always run independently, too, and that's a similar avenue. So let's read some text here. It says, good afternoon. What I dislike is the fact that MPs give voters the impression that they are going into the House of Assembly to represent their wishes and views. This is not the case when there is no consultation with voters after elections. Well, I agree with you that there are members of parliament or candidates who might represent, that they are going to represent the views of constituents. But sometimes that's a failure of understanding on the part of constituents, though, because in point of fact, once that representative gets elected, that's your representative. They didn't say they have to come and consult you. Show me that in the Constitution. Show me where the Constitution says you cannot take a vote for constituents. Show me a law that says that. There's no law that says that. Now, if they told you they're going to come back and consult you afterwards and don't, then that's on them for sure. But they don't have an obligation to do that. Once you elect them, they are your representative. And if they give you, if they give a view in the House of Assembly, that's the constituency's view. It's not your particular view, it's the constituency's view. And let me also say, it is really illogical to talk about representing their views, because the truth of the matter is, people in the constituency have different views. You have been elected by the FNM. There are many PLPs who will oppose your views just because you are an FNM. And similarly, if you're a PLP, FNMs will do it. So whose views are you going to be representing? Also, you can have people who just differ about the view. They agree. Some say yes, some say no. So whose views do you represent? And are you going to hold every time you take a vote? The only way to know what the majority of people in that constituency want is you have to take a poll, a scientific poll. There's nothing else, no other way. It's impractical. It's irrational. So honestly, I hear you, but it's really, I mean, that's what you dislike. So I can't discount that. That's what you dislike. But it's probably going to be the case no matter what form of government you get. There's no form of government where people are always going back to people and getting their views. If you could point me to somewhere where that is happening with any frequency, I'd be happy to find out. This text says, I would like to see us voting for cabinet ministers and the PM. Also, MP should not be cabinet members. Okay. I could talk about that, but that's what you like. Says, I would like to see us voting for cabinet. Oh, you said that already. So, Mr. Lang, if we had proper whistleblower legislation, you would find out what shredding goes on in some of these government ministries. By the way, where's the Oban files? First of all, brother, first of all, sister or brother, this is so big. You don't need a whistleblower legislation. See, the opposition finds out so many things that happens in the government today. Or yesterday. There are cabinet ministers who used to whistleblow to the punch. Cabinet ministers, you don't need no whistleblower. All you need is somebody ticked off enough and willing to go talk. And they do. They do. How do you think these oppositions tend to find out this government? How do you, you asking me, right, where's the Oban file? How you knew about the Oban file? You knew about it. How did the opposition know about it? Did the government tell you anything about it? How did that? So you don't need no whistleblowing legislation to find out files been shredded. The point is shredded for what? The files are always shredded because there's a piece of law that requires files to be kept for a certain period of time. It's years and years. It's over time. You can discard files. There's a process for doing that. All right? But I mean, again, y'all don't let me get in the way of a good story, please. You keep believing, Chad. Keep believing that come election time, these people them set up in the back room, Chad, we gain election to mind you. This the permanent secretary gain election to vote for who they want to vote for. This the deputy permanent secretary gonna vote for. All the secretary, you think all of these people, the clerks and all of them, the filing assistants, all of them going to vote. And many times when the government going to change, more than half of them piss off with the government and getting ready to vote. They shred the files and ain't got nobody. They keep that a secret. My friend Laverne, tell me that don't sound jokey. Tell me that don't sound irrational to you. I want you to consider now. They're getting ready to kick out Ingram. Kick out Christie. Kick out Minnis. And you know they're going to kick them out. And they are shredding files and talking about child. I ain't going to say nothing. Boy, some of them files would be stocked. If they're that bad, they'd be stocked in a box someplace that they... buying and place and carry right out of the government ministry to the opposition. Mr. Tech says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Can you run for prime minister next election, please? No. Thank you very much. Ah, boy, listen, man. I love this country for sure. I didn't have a problem with being in government, even though government was challenging at times, right? That's not something I'm contemplating in my life at all. I never say never. I ain't gonna do that. I'll never say never because you can't tell God what to ask you to do. And you can sometimes know what your mind might be later on in the planet. Say PM, no, say we'll appoint you to something afterwards. No. I serve the country however the country wants me to serve it, but the politics ain't not my deal with it. I can tell you one thing. If I get back in the government, there is a condition. You ain't got to worry about that. There's an absolute condition. Absolute. Absolute. All right. Say so the devil is a liar. That he is. All right. So yeah, here's the thing about our political system. And it's not just ours. It's really democracies across the planet have become so tribal. I mean, really tribal. Right? I would have to say that the Bahamas' democracy, to me, seemed to have become less tribal than it tribal. But it's almost impossible to get things done in ways that invite or encourage consensus because people see even a good thing being done as contrary to their competitive interest, and therefore will, even if they don't overtly oppose it, they will undermine it. Now, let me give you an example. Get mad with me. Get mad with me if you all want. Get mad with me. But this is the clearest example I can give of it. I believe that Mr. Perry Gladstone Christie, leader of the Progressive Liberal Party at the time, and leader of the opposition, and his team fully understood and recognized the wonderful progress we would have been making to amend the Constitution to provide equality for Bahamian men and Bahamian women under the Constitution by amending the Constitution. You said, well, I know it because when the amendments were proposed in the House of Assembly, Mr. Christie and all of his one who was absent voted for the amendments. Voted for. It was unanimously voted for in the House of Assembly by all FNM and the PLP members of Parliament, which told me they agreed with that effort. Lo and behold, a couple of weeks later, partisan politics kicked in. This is my theory of the case. We were going to the election. A mistake, I believe, on Ingram's part, on our part. I believe it was a mistake to do the referendum so close to the election. Because I believe that someone said to Mr. Christie, are you crazy? You are going to go and get a unanimous amendment of yes vote in support of the Constitution Amendment and then go on the election shortly thereafter and asking people to vote against the government that made that overwhelmingly popular amendment? So what we can do now, we don't vote in the House of in the process. And you get the bishops. And you get the lawyers. And all of them to join in the chorus. And what happened? Constitution ain't been amended yet, and we know it was the right thing to do. Talking about it was the process. Process what? We got the government of the Bahamas sometimes violating the law of the Bahamas to do something they believe to be right. And then come behind and amend the law. And we talk about process. It was politics. Why? Because in our competitive democracy, we will sometimes spite, cut off our noses to spite our face. That's what we will do. It's problematic. We scandalize each other. The FNM scandalizes the PLP. The PLP scandalizes the FNM over things done. But they know we're not so much about corruption, maybe about the choice of management. And so we scandalize it. Why? Because a competitive instinct in us tells us the best way to get rid of a government is to claim corruption. The second best way is to disunite. So you go and you sow seeds of discord between them. That's what we do. Why? Because we have a form of competitiveness in our political system that's destructive. Not just ours, it's in other systems as well. It's destructive, it's not constructive. I once listened to an audio book that was talking about competition, constructive competition. And what artists, well, two entertainers were talking, a rap artist was talking about the kind of competition that existed between major artists. And they indicated that many times people think that that competition that existed between the major artists is a competition that's destructive, but it's not. What he said was that they are oftentimes mutually respecting each other to such a high degree that the challenge to outdo the other person raises the level of their performance. This, the same thing in that audio was talked about athletes. That athletes, sometimes people think because they are opponents, that they have a dislike for each other and so forth and so forth. Sometimes on the court, they are so fierce in their competition that they don't show that kind of friendliness toward each other, even though they have it off the court. And they said, no, what it is that they have such a regard for the craft, for the skill set of their competitor, that they are jealous to do so much better than them. Not to bring them down, because you can't bring, you're not going to trip your opponent and break their leg. You're going to up your game, the extent to which you can up your game so you can get ahead of them. You're going to up your game so that you can write a better song, produce a better movie than them. And so that is constructive competitiveness. But that's not what happens in our system. We are not competing for a better fiscal policy idea. We're not. We're not competing for a better economic policy idea. We're not competing for a better monetary policy idea. We're not competing for a better immigration policy idea. We're not competing for a better education policy idea. We are often competing on the grounds that you are corrupt, that you are woefully incompetent, that you're a liar and a cheat, and you are only doing for your family, friends, and lovers. That's the nature of our competition, and it's destructive. We're competing for popularity on the basis of giving treats. We're not competing for a clearer, more progressive, and more attractive vision for the country, or for a more defined strategy for achieving that vision. We're never competing for those things, hardly ever competing for those things. We go to the rallies, and not always. I can say that, you know, you can hear speeches from the leaders sometimes that have some substance in them. But generally, cracking joke and laying licks on people, that's our competition. And it is destructive. It makes us skeptical of all leaders. It makes us judgmental of all leaders. It makes us use resources inefficiently and then effectively, because now when we come to government, we got to demonstrate how stupid and naive and disgusting your thing was, even though it's the really, in the, at the end, you're really keeping the thing. You just say, Shabab, you don't know. David, I talked about. So, Dr. Menes, Bussa, Perry Christie, on the grounds that he introduced FAP. It was a lazy thing to do. And then he came in and he embraced FAP. He didn't get rid of that. But Mr. Davis said Mr. Christie does, I mean, Dr. Menes does, raise VAT. That was a lazy thing to do, too. He didn't say that lazy part of it, but others said it. And then right back to where it was when he left office. He just carried down a little bit. So what was the problem with raising the VAT in the first place? You just think, oh, he shouldn't raise it that much. So, but all it does is it just creates these destructive, divisive, and negative narratives around our leadership of the country and our governance. And then we wonder why most people are cynical about it. Most are skeptical about it. And most are pessimistic about it because that's what we do in this competitively destructive form of political practice. And it is that competitive, that destructive competition that makes me think we ought to strive for a cooperacy, a form of democracy in which we trust cooperation. Not minimize it. Where it is, in fact, central. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to look at some of the ways in which our efforts to maximize cooperation might serve us better. Mike, this is just a thought. I mean, that's what it is. It's just a thought. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabab Ghulam, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down. Can't complain, the same this is issue.
My business couldn't survive without my credit card machine from Fidelity.
It's fast, convenient, and my clients love it.
My sales increase, and I can track my earnings.
Get your credit card machine from Fidelity today.
764. Fidelity,
we're good for you.
After a hurricane or storm, get the Nassau Guardian's Hurricane Guide. The guide will tell you where to purchase building and cleaning supplies, waste disposal, medical care, which auto shop to go to after driving through flooded streets, and much more. The Nassau Guardian's Hurricane Guide will help to make sure everyone knows what to do in the event a hurricane approaches and after it departs. Take advantage of this double insertion opportunity plus 15 radio commercials. Contact us today, 302-2300, 302-2300, or call your account executive. Will you be prepared?
Mocha frapp with almond milk. No whip?
That's me. Thanks. I know what I want for my coffee and for my wealth management plan. That's why I rely on the personalized care I get from my dedicated RF Private Wealth Advisor. With RF, I get a customized strategy designed for what's important to me, like protecting my assets, markets, and making sure my money keeps on growing. For tailor-made wealth management, I trust RF Private Wealth.
Learn more at rfgroup.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabab Olang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. I trust and hope again that you're doing well. If you want to call us in these moments of the show, you can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4249. You can text us or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. A cooperacy is a form of democracy where at the center of the system is cooperation. Cooperation means working with others in a productive and functional manner to achieve a certain end. So there is inherent in cooperacy and cooperation, a working together. So cooperative persons cannot approach the exercise of cooperation without at least suspending their unwillingness to work with someone else, even if that person and them may disagree or have been opposed to each other in the past. The very basis of cooperacy requires an elevation in your intellectual, reasoning, and moral character to make the cooperation at least doable. Right? See, you have to have highly charactered persons, highly reasonable persons, reasonable, I didn't even say reasonable people, to enter into a cooperation or cooperacy. So here is the first thing around which we can have a cooperative venture. First thing, how about a national development plan? Now, the draft national development plan is probably the most cooperative exercise undertaken in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas ever. Its input spanned across disciplines and political parties and so forth. They really did a wonderful job of trying to get that input. But that draft now suffers and has suffered further progression because of a failure of cooperacy, a failure of political parties to cooperate toward its adoption, its refinement, and then with adoption, right? If political parties in the country cannot cooperate on a national development plan, is there any possibility we will ever have a national development plan? Now, don't get me wrong. Today, the Progressive Liberal Party under the Davis administration could adopt the draft national development plan, but it will suffer fatal blows if it does not have a wholesale embrace by the opposition. It will not. It will suffer because when the next party comes in, if they don't do so, they will do what the Minnis administration did. The first draft, the second draft was done under the Christie administration. Okay? When the Minnis administration came in, there's no question in my mind that had a timidity about embracing the National Development Plan. And mind you, it did engage through the IDB, the Government and Public Policy Institute, which I head, to do a review of the plan and then make recommendations toward its adoption. Now, to be honest, it was something that the University of the Bahamas initiated. This was not an administration initiative, but to its credit, it sought to have it done, and it agreed to have it done, and we did it. And after some back and forth, the submissions were made. But it was clear to me that there was not that enthusiasm. Now, you could criticize the Minister's administration and say, well, you know, because they were the opposition before and now the government, they weren't enthusiastic about it. But 2 years into the Davis administration, it has demonstrated either notwithstanding that it is in our plan that they would adopt the National Development Plan. Well, when do you think that's going to happen? And what adoption of a National Development Plan could withstand changes in government if they are not fully embraced by all the political parties involved? How does it get to be national? Well, it could be national, but can it have the force of national buy-in and support? But we can cooperate around that. We can. That could be one of the first tenets of a cooperacy, even if we don't have a cooperacy in place. But cooperation around a national development plan could be hugely beneficial for the Bahamas. It would give tenure to our strategy for developing the country. It will give commonality of purpose and vision and perspective to the whole country regarding what we are seeking to achieve. It will form a rallying point for our resources for decades to come, so that we don't have to fly by night, come up in the morning and decide, well, let's do this thing and let's do the next thing. We could be disciplined by a plan that we all have had a part to sit, a role to play in and agreed upon. And you might tinker with it here and there over cross administrations, but the fundamental vision and strategy remains untouched. So we could cooperate around that, right? We could cooperate around how we manage the participation in the governance of our country, right? Meaning we could agree, all parties could agree and cooperate on a local government machinery for the Bahamas that would permit local people to have more say in their local affairs, to have more say over the things that need to be done for their infrastructure, for their children's education, for their communities, safekeeping and beautification, et cetera. We could cooperate on that. Right? We could do that. We could cooperate around some of the hardest issues that we confront in the country, like immigration. The FNM and the BLB don't have any stark departure on the issue of immigration. They do not. But get together and agree on modus operandi. The problem is, though, the minute you agree on that, you ain't got that can't be a part of the political swashbuckling, you know, sword fighting. But because we didn't agree that. See, think about it this way. Let's suppose that the opposition and the government agreed on the major fundamental policy issues in this country. Let's suppose that was true. Mind you, that is true in practice. It ain't true in rhetoric, but it's true in practice. Let's suppose that they agreed on all those things. what would you think, what do you think would be left for them to compete on? Let me ask it again. So let's suppose they agreed on economic policy, how much foreign domestic investment to have, how much foreign domestic labor to have, on immigration policy, let's say they agreed. Let's say on education policy, on national security policy, on foreign policy. Let's suppose we agreed on those fundamental points, both parties. So there's no debate. No, everybody says, hey, we agreed that. No, we agreed that. What would be left for them to compete on? Somebody text me or call me and let me know. We can take a break, and hopefully you'll let me know what they have left to agree on, to compete on, so that you can vote for one or the other. You're listening to Z-Live. I'm Shabaga Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
After a hurricane or storm, get the Nassau Guardian's Hurricane Guide. The guide will tell you where to purchase building and cleaning supplies, waste disposal, medical care, which auto shop to go to after driving through flooded streets, and much more. The Nassau Guardian's Hurricane Guide will help to make sure everyone knows what to do in the event a hurricane approaches and after it departs. Take advantage of this double insertion opportunity, plus 15 radio commercials. 302-2300. 302-2300, or call your account executive. Will you be prepared?
Mocha frapp with almond milk. No whip?
That's me. Thanks. I know what I want for my coffee and for my wealth management plan. That's why I rely on the personalized care I get from my dedicated RF private wealth advisor. With RF, I get a customized strategy designed for what's important to me, like protecting my assets, evolving with changing markets, and making sure my money keeps on growing. For tailor-made wealth management, I trust RF Private Wealth.
Learn more at rfgroup.com.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to these remaining moments of the show. You're listening to Z Live, and I'm Shabaga Lang, your host. If you want to call us in these remaining moments, the numbers are 323-6232. Or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So if our political parties agreed on the major policy issues in the country, meaning that they agreed on what the issue was and what needed to be done, what would they have left to compete on? What would they come to you at election time asking you to vote for them on? What would they have to? You know what would happen? Two possibilities exist. The first possibility is they come to compete with you on the pure issue of leadership. They would have to come to you and say, I can lead the effort to execute on these agreed policy better than my opponent. And here is why. That's what they would have to do. It would be a leadership race. I have a better team, and here's why, to be able to execute. And that would be the issue. It won't be, it isn't normally anyhow, It won't be, oh, well, this, they did this in fiscal policy and that's wrong. And no, we already agreed what needs to be done. We already agreed those policies. Well, but now it's all about who can get it done. And then you say, well, if both of them were smart enough to agree on the way forward, and from what we could tell, they both seem to be capable, why do we need this competition to begin with? Might we not cooperate and, okay, you take the reins for a time, you take the reins for a time, and so forth and so forth. That sounds far-fetched. That sounds great. What? Cooperate that way? You mean we don't have to have no, you denigrating me and I denigrating you. We don't have to have no, you we spending millions and millions of dollars trying to prove how stupid you are and then throwing all those millions of dollars away in the garbage because we now have got the rallies and we've got the posters, but we take all of that down and now the children who could have that scholarship money can't get that scholarship money. You mean we didn't have to have the, you didn't have to do all that? No, you don't have to do all that in a cooperacy. You don't agree, but I'm not a fool. You know what it takes to do that? Oh my gosh. We got a call on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you. Hi, go ahead, caller.
Hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Hello.
Yes, sir, I can hear you.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Lang. I couldn't hear you. Oh, you were really blank. You know, I want to ask this question, Mr. Blank. Mr. Lang, sorry. Hope your family's doing well. I was 22 years old when I saw our flag go up for the first time on Clifford Park.
Okay.
We're getting ready to celebrate 50 years of independence.
Mm-hmm.
We've gone through five different prime ministers. Are we going through the fifth one now?
Mm-hmm.
All kind of people could brag to the Bahamian people, but who been to the House Assembly, how much years there was in House Assembly, what they did in House Assembly and this. And now in the year 2023, we still keep asking the question, no matter who we put in there, no matter what the Bahamian people ask for, we still got 39, 40, 38, 37 people down there. Always seem to be holding us back from the place where the people wish to go. We asked many years ago the Freedom of Information Act. FNM gone in, play around with it. PLP going in, play around with it. This prime minister, that prime minister, this attorney general, the next attorney general. And we keep doing the same thing over and over. All we're doing is talking about it. Why can't we get things done? All them lawyers and everybody in the House Assembly, we can't get things done? I'll just like to listen. When are we going to get it done?
Are you done? First of all, you know, this is, you are right. You didn't get the Freedom of Information Act done to the point of it now being active, meaning the people who can apply under the Act for information can do so. And I understand that where that is now is the training taking place within the ministries for those information officers to be able to take those requests. So you have made progress in that regard. So I'm not prepared to just sit down and listen to we don't get nothing done. Secondly, that we don't get nothing done is absolutely incorrect. That says it's just not true. It's not true. The Bahamian people asked for the Bahamas and wanted the Bahamas to be an independent country. Are you not independent today from the British? Yeah. You're in control of your own education system and all that kind of stuff, right? Bahamian people wanted a Bahamianization policy that put them at the top of many, many, many of the institutions in their country. Do you not now have that? Yes, you do. Bahamian people wanted the government of the Bahamas to not be the only owner and controller of radio in the country. And do you not now have free and open private media in the country? Bahamian people wanted to stop standing up on long lines in March, getting their license, their car's license. Well, do you not now of year-round licensing. Bahamian people wanted there to be water and light and roads in many of the family island districts where for years and years they had none. Do you not now have that in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas? So let's stop. It's okay to make our points, but let's not get sensational about talking nonsense about the fact that nothing ever happened. Absolute nonsense. You cannot be living in this country for decades and say that. Absolute nonsense. Yes, you can say that stubbornly some things that you want were not done. That is absolutely true. But let's be factual. Let's talk about the things that we wanted done that didn't get done and the things that wanted to be done, you wanted it to be done, that was done. You now have millions and millions of dollars. You wanted a university, you got one. You wanted your children to have millions and millions of dollars of scholarships available to them, you have that. Well, what are we going to be saying? There are many things Bahamians wanted in the Bahamas that they have. There are things that they want and don't have. That is true. That is very true. So let's not, you know, let's stick to the facts. Anyways, again, some of the things that we don't get done, we don't get done because we won't cooperate around them. Because the competition around them is so tribal, so divisive. Some people say divisive, that the politics of it doesn't work to get it done. Right? And I told you before in the show why Freedom of Information Act takes so long. There's some of your business the government don't want you to know, but you know that already. You know that the government don't want you to know somebody's business. That you already know that. Right? And it don't matter if it was the former administration or administration before that or before that. There's some things they prefer you not to know. And so it was slow going because they know that when the thing break out, you could ask and they'll be obliged to answer. It's coming. You'll get it. The judge is working on it. So he's training the officers. It's coming. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to See Live. I'm Shivar Gulang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. I trust and hope you have a great evening. God bless, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow. God spares life.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.